The following talk was conducted on the 11th of June 2023 and is entitled The Grace Concept, presented by spiritual leader Julian Harvey.
Whenever anybody asks me about Grace, I say she's 5'1" and I used to call her mum. That's often what I used to say. I've got to be really careful because I'm getting really emotional. The reality of it is that when I saw what Paul had written about grace, I realized how much I had been ignoring grace for myself and for others. I've had a particularly challenging time at work, which is fine. That's part of the job, is the challenges of work. But what I had noticed, that what was creeping into me was, and I wasn't doing it outwardly, I wasn't doing it to people, but inwardly I was telling them off and I was telling myself off. And I was saying things in my own head that were possibly not of a nice nature at times. As I said at the beginning, you know, when I decided that I didn't really want to, the talk that I'd come up with initially was okay, but it wasn't really hitting the mark with me. It was kind of like, I need to do a talk. What'll I talk about? As opposed to looking inward and going inward and saying, what do I need to hear for myself? What do I need to be able to present that is for you folk, which I love doing, but also for myself, because I am a truth student. I'm not an expert at this stuff. I'm learning the same as everybody else. But when I sort of realized that that's what I needed to do, which I'd done sort of by Tuesday, Wednesday at the time, the universe decided to throw a whole bunch of stuff at me and say, okay, let's talk about it. Let's discuss this at length. And some events happened at work and some events happened outside of work that in the old days I would have caused all sorts of ruckus about. I thought I was doing something helpful. We're rolling out a new program. There was a staff member that I used to work with that used to struggle with learning and understanding, and she used to really find it hard to do. And so when I had learned some of the stuff that I'd learned recently, I went to her and I said, hey, this is all coming out. You're going to, you know, this is what you need to be on top of. This is what you need to do. This is how you need to, you know, you need to work on and stuff. I really encourage you to sort of get ahead of the game and really do that. Now, I thought I was doing the right thing. The challenge with that was that I haven't worked in that team for about 8 months. And in that 8 month period, apparently, according to her team leader, she has started to excel and she's actually now an influencer of change. She's excited about the change. She's knowledgeable about the change. She's researching stuff. And of course, what happened was that she felt that I was telling her she was an idiot, which wasn't my meaning at all, but it was the way it was perceived by her, which I can't control. What I could control, which I didn't control at the time, was my reaction to it. The team leader then came to me and said, hey, you know, what are you doing sticking your nose in? You really shouldn't do that. You haven't been a part of the team for 8 months. It's not your job. This is my job. And by the way, she's this sort of influencer. And my reaction was less than professional. And I'll be honest about that. It was less than professional because I was, I've got the stuff going on. And obviously that was a sort of straw that broke the camel's back type of situation. With my situation. So I said, right, okay, no worries, I won't interfere ever again. I'm out of there, not a problem, yada yada yada. And then the mind chatter started. Hands up if you all know what the mind chatter is and what it looks like and what it sounds like and what a spinning wheel it is. Those guys online, you know what I'm talking about. And it just went ballistic. And This all happened on Thursday, and it affected me so much. My reaction to it affected me so much. I don't know whether you guys saw Thursday night's email. I don't know how many people look at Thursday night's email, but there was no indication as to what I was going to talk about. I just went, I just got to get this out. I couldn't think, I couldn't say anything. I really went into quite a major reaction about the whole thing. What I went into reaction about was my reaction. I didn't go into reaction about what went on with her. I didn't go, you know, it was like, okay, I've slipped up, whoop, whoop, whoop. But then what I went through did that. So then Thursday, I did that, got that out of the way. Friday, I worked from home because I needed to calm down. I didn't want to be anywhere where I could relax and I could do, you know, I could be okay. And I needed some time out, some space from people as such at the time, which to me is a nurturing thing. You know, I spend a lot of time at work. I spend a lot of time around people and I'm happy to spend time around people, but I do need to take that time out for myself, for self-care. So I did that on Friday. And then I got up early Saturday morning and I had a meeting, 7 o'clock meeting on Saturday morning with Ros and a minister from the US. And at the end of it, I went, right, I've got to give a talk tomorrow. What am I going to talk about? And I thought, what I'll do is I'll start putting the slide set together. So sometimes to get myself triggered into it, I'll put the slide set together and I'll start putting the slides together. And I thought, I read the Absolute Word on Wednesday. What's that again? And I pulled up the Absolute Word and I went, grace. And then I started reading what he says in it about grace. And then he says it, in the middle section, he says, at every moment I may want to punish myself or someone else for a perceived transgression. I reach deep and I choose grace for myself and others. Now, the affirmation is I offer grace to others and myself, but in this, he says, I reach deep and I choose grace for myself and others. And that got me thinking about, well, what does the word grace really mean? What does grace actually mean? We hear it in the Bible all the time. The Gospels, and it's in the Gospel of John that the version I've got here says, John verse 1, chapter 1, verses 9, and then again in 14. The verse 9 is, the true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. And then he goes on to say, 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. He then goes on to say in verses 16 and 17, and from his fullness have we all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So the consciousness that Jesus demonstrated in the Gospels according to John is called grace consciousness because it exemplifies a mind and a heart fully awakened and expressing from the nature of being, which is the nature of love. And then I sort of went, okay, well, what does grace mean? What does it actually mean? What does the word mean from a metaphysical point of view? Because when you talk to people, and I did do a little bit of investigation on this, grace has many definitions because it's so multifaceted. Grace is the love of God expressing as God's divine nature, which must also be our nature. So we need to take a look at the activity of this love expressing as true salvation from error thought and conditions brought on by those thoughts. So metaphysically, grace means goodwill, favor, disposition to show mercy, aid from God in the process of regeneration. By grace you have been saved, Ephesians 2, chapter 5, verse 5. And these are all from the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary and the Revealing Word. So this is the Revealing Word states that grace is goodwill, favor. It also then says that Grace and Truth. So in the Revealing Word online, there's some more words in there or more definitions in there than in the handbook version of it. But John 1 says, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That is, the real saving, redeeming, transferring power came to man through the work that Jesus did in establishing for the race a new and higher consciousness on earth. We can enter into this consciousness by faith in him and by means of the inner spirit of the law that he taught and practiced. So what did he teach? What did Jesus teach? When we look at the practicalities of the lessons that Jesus taught, every lesson was about love. It was consistently about love. And that love is that level of grace that we receive when we use that power of love in every facet of everything we do. If we look from a point of love in every angle, every situation, every circumstance we come from, that is the grace that is coming from the divine spirit, one presence, the one power in the universe. The word grace is synonymous with love. It is unconditional, impartial, and unsolicited. It is perpetually operative and fully accessible to all. There is nothing that we can do that will increase its availability, but we can resist it by holding thoughts and feelings opposed to the nature of love or the nature of being. So that's where I was at when I was going through all this stuff. I had separated myself very clearly from the one power and the one presence in the universe. I had dropped very quickly the lessons, the study, the works that I had done in a very quick and short space when I went into the human nature of reaction. And it took me a while. It really took me a while because I'm talking to everybody who understands this, unless you're about to ascend. It's the waking up at 1 o'clock in the morning, and the very first thought that comes out of your mind is those thoughts of what you could have done to make that person feel as badly as you were feeling. Does that make sense? You know, you wake up and you go, oh, if I'd said that, she'd have felt like this. No, that's not the right thing to think. But that's the level of repetition that happens within the mind when we get into, when we head down into that negative space, that can be the sorts of things that we have going on in our heads. There are, again, it's one of those things where, what do I then do about that? Because I know that's not the way I want to be. It's an automatic inbuilt reaction that you have, that I've had over many, from my human experience growing up, is that, I think I've said this once before, I lived for a long, long time with the old adage of he who dies with the most toys wins, and that it's my way or the highway. I lived with an adage of I'm the most important thing on the planet and I'll let you know it. I don't know whether anybody else has felt that way, but that's the way I used to, live, especially, in my early 20s and early 30s. I was, 6'3" and bulletproof. I still say I'm 5'10". I'm not. I'm 5'9¼". Let's get the truth out there. Okay. There's all these stories and all these things you tell yourself through life growing up. And so what I realized was that when I was putting together the researching the talk and researching the aspects of that, I actually came across a really good article. It's not an article. It's actually a class. And it's a class that's on Truth Unity. You can do it on Truth Unity. All the work is there. All the book work is there. And it was written by a lady called Debbie Tyson from Unity Village, And she wrote a book or wrote a series called Grace Awakening. And it's about awakening to that grace within. It was revised. So she wrote it, I'm not sure, she wrote it in the 80s and then she's revised it. It was revised in 1993. And she basically leads you through a process of understanding the different aspects of how grace works in your life. And those aspects of that particular course then lead you to a series of steps you can take to lead you through moving from not so grace to grace, if that makes sense. And when I was, again, on Saturday morning, when I was after the class on Saturday, I was going through some stuff and I was thinking to myself, I actually need to stop writing the talk and I actually need to do the work. I actually need to get that point in stage where I do the work that I need to do for me, because the blocks to information that I was getting, because my negative thoughts were still running in the background, the tapes were still going in the background of my head. And so I actually went, well, what do I need to do? It begins with prayer. It definitely begins with prayer. You have to get into that point and stage of silence. We should, well, sorry, I just used the 11th commandment on you. Thou shalt not should on ourselves or other people for that matter. It is beneficial to you, certainly beneficial to me, if I set up a set period or a set time to pray. Same with meditation. I don't know about you guys, but I find if I don't keep on track with my meditation, that's when the train starts to go off the rails. So making a commitment to prayer is the quickest way of releasing any resistance to grace, which we call love, because that's basically what we're talking about. When the conscious mind is quieted and the focus of attention is turned inward, we become an open channel through which grace, love, can flow. Any mind-heart energy that has been resistant to grace then gives way, and it is healed by the activity of grace itself. So if we take time out and we pray, we get into that prayerful state and we take the time when we are in, the trick for me, the trick is to do it when I am in that absolute mind running rampant stuff. I need to go, oh, hang on a second. I need to stop. I need to stop. I need to pray. And when we talk about prayer, we talk about Unity's five-step prayer process, or I look at the five-step prayer process from that point of view, which is quieting the mind, quieting the breathing, concentrating on what's going on, and then just allowing the silence to happen. Now, when I do that, what's really interesting is that lately, you know the song that we sing at the end of the services, I am the light of God, I am the love of God. That's my affirmation. That's been my affirmation for about a week and a half to nearly two weeks now. When I get quiet, or when I get in that point stage where I go, oh, I'm going nuts, I go, hang on a second. I close my eyes, I still my mind. I check my breathing. I make sure that I'm breathing to my heart center, and that I'm breathing from a state of love. And then I just recite, I am the light of love of God. I am the love of God. I am the power of God. I am the presence of God. Wherever I am, God is. And that's the truth. And so it is. And I find that that works really well for me. Give it a try. See what you think. Grace is the nature of being. Grace is, we are created in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, our true nature is the same as God's, which is love. When our consciousness expresses from its true nature, grace is the experience. But when it expresses from some other state, such as unforgiveness, fear, anger, resentment, and so on, then pain and suffering result. Now, in unity speak, that's when we get into our not so happy place. But the reality of it is we can never be separated from the activity of grace, but we can feel as though we are when we are functioning from a level of mind, heart, energy that is foreign to our Christ nature. So it's really funny is because when I went through this reaction, and it's been a long time, it's been quite a while since I've had this level of reaction to a situation at work or anywhere, to be honest with you. It sort of caught me, and that's why it kind of blindsided me a little bit, you know, that I actually had that level of reaction that I had, because it's not something that that I have experienced, you know, often lately or for a while. And so, as is normal for me in that situation, I started beating myself up for not being more unity, not being more aware, not being from my Christ, you know, and I just started this whole beat up. And then it moved from wanting to seek vengeance or anger or whatever at the person who the situation was about, it all suddenly became about me. It became about I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, you know, all that sort of stuff. And then when I read through Debbie's book, I realized that, when I read that grace is the nature of being, self-love and love in general is our natural state. It's the other stuff that's the problem. It's the other stuff that we need to deal with. So getting yourself into a state of a prayerful state where you can reconnect to that Christ consciousness of who you truly are is a vital part to understanding how to evoke or how to bring grace into your consciousness and into your awareness. Because it's always there. It doesn't disappear. Love doesn't go anywhere. It's whether or not we access, it's whether or not we turn the tap on or turn the tap off. It's always there. So understanding that we need to get into that meditative state or into that prayerful state, however you want to do it, to reconnect to that Christ consciousness is the beginning part of moving into a graceful state or into a state of grace. So there's some methodology or there's some methods that you can use to do that, to give you some practical stuff, because this is supposed to be about practical Christianity, practical metaphysics. Which was the original talk I was going to give, guys, by the way. It was going to be called Metaphysically Why Metaphysics. I don't know where that was going, but anyway, that was the title I came up with, which is a bit of a strange one. So methods for self-help. Who wants to know how to help themselves? I'm getting a whole bunch of hands up here, a whole bunch of hands online. Thank you. So if you want to sort of get yourself into a practice of understanding grace, do this at the end of the day until you feel yourself transformed. Make a list of as many negative attitudes and thoughts that you can remember having had during the day. You're going nuts. Test, test, test. Test, test, test. We're having a problem with the speaker in the barge, guys. Sorry. Is that better? Yeah. Okay. I want to find out what it's about. All right, I'm learning. Irma had hers on. Test 1, 2, that's better. The fun and games of internet, eh? Sorry about that, guys. All right, let me get back on track. Do this at the end of every day until you feel you've self-transformed. Make a list of as many negative attitudes and thoughts you can remember having during the day, and then write out an affirmation of graceful truth that will replace each negative remembrance. Then meditate on each affirmation with feeling. So when I did this on Saturday about lunchtime, a bit after lunch, the only affirmation that came through to me at the time was is that, you know, the denial was, because, you know, we do denials and affirmations. The denial was I give no power to any sense of separation, because the feelings I was having at the time was as I was completely separate from source. Separate, completely separate from the divine. And then the affirmation was, I see love in every circumstance, situation, person that I meet each day. So then the second step is to make a list of the actions and attitudes you've had during the day that insist on even exchange. What I mean by that is, what attitude or action could you have engaged in that would have eliminated even exchange and called forth grace? Write a grace attitude or an action and visualize yourself redoing and rethinking from the consciousness of grace. So what I should have done when the team leader came to me was, what I should have done is I should have gone, oh, okay, explain to me where I went wrong. Tell me what I did wrong, and then I can solve the problem or I can change the way I did it. And at that time, I could have explained my side of the story, which I didn't do because I didn't allow that to happen, was I could have said, oh, okay, my intention was this. I'm sorry that intention wasn't conveyed properly. I didn't mean to do any harm. So I revisited the situation and I redesigned how I would react to it and what I needed to do. And then obviously you need to affirm every day as many times as you can, and you need to remember, and it's in older language, but thy will is my will, thy will be done through me this day. At the end of each day, make a list of any feelings associated with this statement. So, thy will is my will, thy will be done through me this day. Now, through me, to me, when I see those words, through me, I kind of, that to me is separation kind of language. So, I changed it to, thy will is my will, thy will be done as me this day. Because it's as me in spirit, as me as the Christ consciousness that I am going out into the world. Not the ego-driven one, not the one that's into blame, shame, guilt, all of that stuff. It's me as the Christ consciousness, as the one power and the one presence going out into the day. Because if we take the premise of there is only one power and one presence in the universe, then that has to be as me. But from the Christ consciousness, not from the human consciousness, if that makes sense. And then you just need to keep reaffirming that statement, that God's will or divine ideas will or divine memory, divine, whatever you want to call it, divine spirit. Rhonda uses the word inner Lord because she's comfortable with that. And you need to keep doing it until you feel a deep sense of peace, joy, trust, and excitement about the will of God being done in your life. Because I'm sure you've had moments, I have no doubts that you've had moments as truth students where you have really felt you're in the flow, really in the flow, like it's really happening. And it's that sense that you want to get. So when you find yourself being ungraceful or non-graceful, you need to get yourself into that point and stage. Mr. Fillmore, there was a book put together called Dynamics for Living, which is Mr. Fillmore's, a collection of Mr. Fillmore's writings from a variety of places, and it's written by subject matter. And in Dynamics for Living, Spirit of Love, it says, right here, all Christians should know that the greatest idea in divine mind is love, God's love. Then goes on to say in the next section, so that was verse 16, this is section 17. When the spirit of love begins to work in you, a soothing tendency, then a forgiving grace and charity will spring into your consciousness. The surest sign of the spiritual mind at work is forgiveness. You will love those who have despitefully used you. You will see unity in spirit and strive to establish it in the world. If God should destroy all the evil people, what would then become of the race? Why, there would not be a baker's dozen of us left on the planet. We should be like the man who wrote the prayer. My wife and I do not get along together. Please treat her. Had to throw that one in. So understanding that we need to, when we do have those negative times, when we do have those negative circumstances, when we do enter into that space that we don't want to be a part of, that we don't really want in our lives, then we need to remember that there is a way that we can get through that. Begin with prayer. Create denials and affirmations. Recognize when you're moving from a state of flux to a state of grace, recognizing all of that. And know that that level of love is actually your true nature. And it's not just love of other things, other people, the world. It's that love of yourself that is your true nature. That inner knowing of the love of who you are, the Christ consciousness that is you expressing in the world.